All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, if we could, and turn to Judges chapter number 17. Judges chapter 17. We're going to read a good bit of Scripture tonight. I'm just going to give you three truths tonight. We're going to read a lot of Scripture. We have been looking for just a couple of messages regarding what saith the Scriptures, especially in light of the elections coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we're not necessarily going to look at a specific issue tonight, but in both of those messages, especially Sunday morning when we spoke about abortion, we talked about the truth that the reason that many of these issues are even issues is because many in our nation and in our world, if you will, live their lives with no point of authority. When we live our lives with no compass, with no direction, with no authority, with no point of authority, then we are going to make decisions. We're going to make issues out of things that should not be issues. And we're going to make decisions based squarely in opposition to the Word of God. And we do that in many things, not just in election issues and not just with candidates and those different things, but we make decisions, if we make decisions regardless or in disregard of a point of authority, it always leads us in a wrong direction. And we say all the time, and I hope we remember, decisions determine direction, direction determines destination. And here's the truth, we all have the choice to make decisions. Amen and amen and amen. We all have the choice to make decisions. It's up to us. I saw yesterday, and I thought this was really good, but someone had posted, it said, divorce is hard and marriage is hard, but you choose which hard you want to do. Okay, you choose which hard you want to do. Okay, living in poverty or stewarding your finances, they're both hard, but you choose which one you want to live in. Okay, we all make choices. And so tonight I want to bring us a message simply entitled Authority or Anarchy. Authority or Anarchy. And I want us to see here in Judges chapter 17 and 18 and 19, and we're going to see what happens when people live apart from a point of authority, when people live, as the Bible says in verse number 6 of chapter number 17, look there with me if you would as we get started tonight. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They had no point of authority. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. In those days there was no king in Israel. Chapter number 19, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. The point was there was no point of authority. There was no leadership. There was no king in Israel. There was no judge. There were no individuals leading. There were no individuals listening to the Word of God and guiding by the Word of God. And then we know in chapter number 21, as the book finishes, in verse number 25 of chapter 21, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I submit to us tonight, we have a point of authority. We have a true north. We have a compass. And that is the precious holy Word of God. And if we'll abide by it, and if we'll live with it, and if we'll obey it, and if we'll study it and read it, it will help us to make decisions regardless of whether it's issues of election or just issues every single day in our Christian lives. God's Word is, and I don't even know if I like this phrase, but it really is, God's Word is our true north. It's our compass. It gives us the direction that we need. And if we abide under God's Word, we're abiding under authority, and so we can either have authority or we can have anarchy. We can have authority or we can have anarchy. And we have seen in recent months, anarchy in the streets of our nation. And so as we think about this tonight, again, this isn't a specific issue like we talked about Sunday with abortion. This is just, let's walk through these few chapters real quickly tonight, and I'm going to give you three statements about a point of authority, or excuse me, when there is no point of authority, because that's what we find in chapters 17 through 21. Many believe that Judges 17 through 21 really happen at the beginning of Judges, not at the end, that they happen before the judges begin to rule. Whether or not that is true or not, we have five chapters that show us, and we're not going to be able to go in depth tonight by any means to be able to read so large a swath of the Word of God, but it shows us what happens when people turn away from a point of authority. And by the way, let's just answer the question right now, because we know it. What happens when people turn from a point of authority?
Chaos.
Destruction. That's what happens. When people turn from the Word of God and they begin... Actually, let's just pray, because I'm going to get ahead of myself. And let me pray and then we'll look here in these chapters tonight. Father, thank you for your goodness to us tonight. Father, thank you for the opportunity to bring, to be able to come into this place, this building. And Father, we do know it's just a building. But Father, we're thankful that you've given us a place, this local church, this local assembly, to be able to gather together corporately, to be able to worship together, to be able to be taught and to learn and to lift our voices in praise and prayer. And we're thankful for this place that you've brought us to. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity. And Father, I pray that we would never take it for granted. Father, we look across the landscape of our nation and we see states in our very nation, in the United States of America, who are fining and who are dictating to churches whether they can meet or not, whether they can assemble together or not. And Father, not only is that against our Constitution, Father, more importantly, that is against your holy word. And Father, I pray that we would never take for granted the opportunity to meet together. May we never slough it off. May we never see it as something non-essential. But Father, help us to see that being together with your people, fellowshipping together, provoking each other to love and good works, it is vital to our Christian lives. And Father, I pray that you'd help us as a people here in our little corner of the world, that even though we're at this moment, we are immune to some of the things going on in the rest of our nation, Father, it could come to us very quickly. And Father, I pray that we would never take for granted what you've given us in this place. Father, teach us and help us tonight. Father, thank you for the children. Thank you for the teenagers that are gathered here tonight. Father, I pray that if there are some of them tonight, and Father, even as we talked in our Bible story tonight about salvation and about the cross of Calvary, Father, I pray if there's a young person that needs to be saved, Father, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. I pray for a teenager tonight that may need to be saved. I pray for a teenager tonight that needs to get right with you, that needs to turn from their wicked ways, needs to amend their ways tonight. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would deal, and I pray that they would confess and get some things right tonight. We love you, Lord, and I pray the same for us in here tonight. If there would be one in our midst tonight in this auditorium that doesn't know Christ, I pray that tonight would be their night of salvation. I pray for believers, Lord, if we need to get things right, if I need to get things right with you tonight, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign to move and show us and convict us tonight. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you'll do in these next few moments that we have together. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, when there is no point of authority, self reigns. When there is no point of authority, self reigns. Look at chapter number 17, if you would. And it reigns in its opinions, in its decisions, and whatever those decisions are, whether it's about themselves, whether it's about their home. And we find here in chapter number 17, whether it's about worship, self reigns when there is no point of authority. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst, and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son." Don't forget that little phrase. What did she say? Who did she say she had dedicated the silver to? To the Lord. to make the very next phrase, notice this. She had dedicated it to the Lord. But what was she going to do with it? Make a graven image. Make an idol with it. You see, when there is no point of authority, when everyone does that which is right in their own eyes, and by the way, we see that in verse number 6, even when it comes to worship, we begin to do everything based upon our own opinions, based upon how we think things ought to be done. And here's a lady who supposedly had saved up silver and she had dedicated it to the Lord, but that dedication was to make an idol. Why was that wrong? Why is that wrong? Because that's not God. Because of Exodus chapter 20. What did he say? What does the Bible say in Exodus 20? He says, you're not supposed to put any God before me, first of all, but you're not supposed to make any graven images. So here's a lady who, by the way, probably had great intentions. I don't doubt her intentions at all. Who probably had great intentions, but she said, look, I'm going to dedicate this to the Lord, but the way I'm going to dedicate it is we're going to use that money to make a graven and a molten image. A graven image, or a carved image, and we're going to make a molten image as well. You see what happens when we move from a point of authority to doing things the way we want to do them ourselves? When we have no point of authority, then self makes its own decisions apart from God Almighty. By the way, can I submit to us tonight? That's what's been happening in our nation, especially in our government for the past 2, 3, 4, 5 decades. We are making decisions absolutely apart, absolutely disengaged from the Word of God. And she says there, verse 3, it says, to make a graven image and a molten image. A graven image carved out of wood, a molten image cast, if you would, like a mold. They would make a mold and they would put the material, whether it be metal or iron ore or whatever it would be, and then they would heat it in the fire. And they're going to make a molten image. She's going to take that money to somebody who's going to carve her an image and make her a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver. Now by the way, notice this. She said she had dedicated all of it. She only used 200. By the way, that was a good thing. Good thing she didn't use all of it on false gods, but she said, I dedicated all of it, but she only used 200 of it and gave them to the founder who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of what? What's the word there? Gods. Oh, but I'm worshiping God. Yeah, you're worshiping every god under the sun. The Bible says he had a house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Who were supposed to be the priest? The Levites were supposed to be the priest. Now, by the way, he knew that because as we read down in the story, he knows that. But the Bible says that he took his own son to make him a priest. And then verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Listen, there's a difference between good intentions and God's instructions. There's a difference. Verse number 7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. And he sojourned there, and the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the problem was, look, the Levites were supposed to be the priests for the nation of Israel, not for the individuals. But this man wanted to have, in his mind, he's thinking, there's going to be some great favor brought upon my house because I have my own priest in this house. Verse number 11, by the way, he didn't pay him very much either. Verse 11. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite. By the way, he had no authority authority to consecrate him. Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, "Now know I that the Lord will do to me, will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." You see what happens when we have no point of authority? Self reigns. Not scriptures, not the Spirit, not God, but self. We make decisions based upon self. By the way, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. When we start being so proud that we make decisions based upon self, totally and wholly and solely apart from God, we are headed for ultimate destruction. Authority or anarchy. Number one, when there is no point of authority, self reigns. We make our own decisions, we have our own opinions, and we've said this several times in the last couple of weeks. It doesn't matter what my opinion is, if it doesn't square with the Word of God, it is worthless. Amen? Amen. All of us have opinions, don't we? All of us have opinions about the candidates that are running for president, for senate, for our state. We all have opinions, don't we? None of those matter if they don't line up with the Word of God. That's what we talked about abortion Sunday morning. Lots of people have opinions about abortion. Ladies say, "My body, my choice." That doesn't line up with the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 1, God told Jeremiah, He said, "Look, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." In Psalm 139, King David said, "Look, I am fearfully," he said, "I'm going to praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He said, "Before my parts even began to come together, before my bones even began to come together, you knew me." We said Sunday morning that that abortion rebels against, first of all, God's commanded precepts and God's created purpose. God's commanded precepts in Exodus chapter number 20, it says, "Thou shalt not kill." In Exodus 21, verse number 22 and verse 23, the Bible speaks about two men who are striving together, who are fighting. And if one of the men's wives is with child and she gets hurt in the midst of that scuffle, and the baby is born and nothing happens to it, if it's born alive, everything's okay, then that husband can put whatever punishment upon that man he wants to. But the rest of the passage says, if that lady is harmed during that scuffle and the baby is born, but it dies, what does the Bible say? It says life for life. It says eye for eye. It says tooth for tooth. That's where that phrase comes from. We talk about eye for eye, tooth for tooth. It comes from that passage where it's talking about a lady who is with child and she gets harmed during a scuffle with two men, and the baby is born early. Her fruit departs from her, the Bible says. And if that baby dies, it says life for life. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells me that God looks at that child in that womb as a human being, as something worthy of someone else's life if that person takes its life. You see, abortion rebels against God's commanded precepts, and it rebels against God's created purpose. In Jeremiah 1, in verse number 5, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and I ordained thee and sanctified thee to be a prophet." God has a purpose for that little child in that belly, in that womb. How many purposes have been cut off early because some mother, because some guy and some girl who got together and they thought that's an inconvenient consequence of what we did. Let's just take care of the problem. How many created purposes have been cut off in the womb? And we said it Sunday. I am normally not a one-issue voter most of the time. I'm not. There's lots of issues that I look at. But if a candidate, I don't care if they're a D or an R or an I, if that candidate is for abortion, I ain't going to vote for them. I don't care if they're for lower taxes. I don't care if they're for smaller government. I don't care if they check off every other box that I'm for. If you're for killing a baby, I'm not going to vote for you. Because if you're for that, then you're against God's Word. And I don't want to fall down against God's word. And so we see number one tonight, when there's no point of authority, self reigns. And that goes back to the phrase, my body, my choice. Self makes all the decisions. Pride makes all the decisions. When there is no point of authority, self reigns. When there is no point of authority, sin results. What is the result? It's sin. By the way, we could have said that with number one. When self begins to reign, then automatically the result of that's going to be sin. When there is no point of authority, sin results. I'm not going to read chapter number 18 just for sake of time tonight, but I do want to read chapter number 19. Let me give you number three as well. Number one, when there is no point of authority, self reigns. When there is no point of authority, sin results. When there is no point of authority, society rots. And we're going to read chapter 19 and see that. You want to see a picture of a society that has turned from their point of authority, from God's Word, from following Jehovah God, and we want to see what happens to a society like that. And by the way, to see what's happening to our society. My son was telling me, he was watching a video of some of these rioters out in Portland. And some of the, specifically one individual, but they were burning an American flag and they were burning a Bible in the street there. And Jonathan was telling me, he's watching this video, and this guy, and I don't know where he got it, I don't know where he pulled it out from, maybe he had a backpack or something, but he pulled out the heart of an animal. I don't even know what kind of animal it was. And he started ripping it apart and letting the blood spill on that Bible and on that flag. And Jonathan said he was dancing around it and he fell and he was falling on the ground and convulsing. I said he was demon possessed. He's demon possessed. And that's what happens when we slowly and surely move from a point of authority. When we slowly but surely move from our, and when I say point of authority tonight, I'm talking about God's Word. I'm not talking about any man's authority. I'm not talking about what any man thinks. I'm talking about God's holy Word. When we move away from our point of authority, from our true north, from our compass, which gives us perfect direction, when we move away from that, society will eventually rot. Notice chapter number 19. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from him under her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him and abode with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodge there. And it came to pass on the fourth day when they arose early in the morning that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread and afterward go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lodged there again. And he rose early in the morning on the fifth day to depart. The damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon, and they did eat, both of them. Now look, I don't know about you, but my in-laws, after a few days, they're ready to kick me out. They don't want me to stay anymore. This guy's wanting them to stay and stay and stay. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry. And tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry that night. But he rose up and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem, or Jebus, and there was with him 2 asses saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. And the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, come, and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night, in Gibeah or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, He sat him down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, "Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "We are passing from Bethlehem Judah toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, and for thy handmaid, and for the young man which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything." And the old man said, "Peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street." So he brought him into his house, and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. You say, "Pastor, what? There's nothing wrong with all this." Just wait. Now, as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, "Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him." And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, "Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. Seeing that this man is coming to mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter." Almost sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't it? "Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now." By the way, what did the gentleman say to him earlier, verse 20? He said, "Peace be with thee, howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me." As soon as the men come to the door and say, "Hey, we want that man that we may know him," he said, no, "here's my daughter, but here's his concubine also. Them I will bring out now," verse 24, "and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing." But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning, and when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, "Up! And let us be going." By the way, what a callous statement. Get up! Let's go. What's wrong with you? But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. And when he was coming to his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her, together with her bones, into 12 pieces, and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, "There was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds." I'd encourage you tonight to go home and read chapter 20 and chapter 21. People of Israel come together because they're going to avenge themselves of the Benjamites. What ends up happening, they almost eliminate a whole tribe of Israel. And all because of sin. You see, when there's no point of authority, self reigns. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, tonight, that's where we're living, not just in America, but in this world tonight. We're living where every man does that which was right or is right in their own eyes. I know there are pockets, there's a remnant. And I pray, by the way, I pray that that remnant would be the start of a revival. I believe that can happen. Okay, yes, there's a remnant. There are pockets of people who still love the Lord, who still are obeying the Word. And by the way, it's not just us. There are pockets everywhere. But by and large, in our nation and in our world, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. When there's no point of authority, self reigns. There's probably something that needs to be said right there, but I'm not going to say it tonight. Where there's no point of authority, self reigns. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care what God's Word says. I'm going to do what I want to do. When there's no point of authority, sin results. Read chapter number 18. We skipped it, but chapter number 19 is plenty. When there's no point of authority, sin results. And when there's no point of authority, society rots. Dear friend, and I know I'm speaking to the Wednesday night crowd, and I know I'm speaking to people who I believe with all my heart, your point of authority is the Word of God. I believe that. But friend, our prayer, and we need to pray, and we need to proclaim, and we need to preach, and we need to help others to understand that we must get back to a point of authority. We must come back to the Word of God. We must have a compass. We must have an anchor. We must have something that gives us direction. Because if we don't, we are wandering aimlessly and we end up in anarchy. And I want to tell you what, friend, that's where we are headed in our nation. We are headed toward anarchy. And friend, I know we are immune, and in some ways I'm very thankful. I mentioned this Sunday. If you lived in Portland for the last over 100 nights in Portland, those people that live there have endured riots in their city. 3.5 to 4 months every night they are enduring riots in their city. There's no leadership. There's no one to step in and say, hey, that's not a peaceful protest. That's not what the Constitution said. We need to bring our law enforcement in and we need to do something about that. And there's no leadership. Because there's no point of authority. Because we've gotten to the place where people say, well, who am I to say they can't do that? You're the mayor. You're the police chief. You're the law enforcement. You are a point of authority. But we have said for so long that everyone is their own God. We have taught humanism so long that everybody looks inward and it's all about self and I can do whatever I want to do. Who am I to say you can't do that? By the way, who are you as a pastor to tell two ladies that they can't get married? They love each other. Who are you to tell them that? I'm not. It's not me that tells them that. It's God Almighty. I am nobody to tell them that. They just love each other. Those two men, they just love each other. That man who loves that little boy and wants to marry him, he just loves him. Who are you to say they can't get together? Well, honestly, I'm nobody, but God is everybody. And God says that's wicked and vile and rotten. And that's where we end up when there's no point of authority. We end up with states, as I mentioned earlier, we end up with states who let bars and football stadiums and everything else open up, yeah, maybe to a smaller capacity, but then they fine churches because they just want to meet together and preach God's Word. God help us. God help. But that's where we end up when we begin to float and drift away from our moorings and from our point of authority. When we have no point of authority, self reigns. When we have no point of authority, sin results. And when there's no point of authority, society rots. Pastor, we're doing fine in West Tennessee, Haywood County, Lauderdale County. No protests, no riots, none of that foolishness. And I'm thankful for it. But it's happening. I'm thankful for our leadership in our state. That's why we need to keep voting for leadership that's going to continue to move us in the right direction. Oh, you say, well, I don't like Governor Lee. I don't like everything he does either. But I think he's a Christian man. I think he's saved. I think he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he's trying to lead us in the right way. I wouldn't trade him for any other governor in the nation. I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't trade him for California's governor, would you? No, they're trying to recall him. No, I wouldn't trade him for California's governor for anything. And I may not always agree with him. I don't like the fact that he has let the mask mandate go until the end of the year. I don't like that. If a person believes they ought to wear a mask, wear it. But government ought not tell me I have to wear a mask. That is total overreach. That is total government overreach. You say, well, Pastor, you just want to make people sick and get people sick. No, if I'm sick, I stay home. And by the way, these past 6 months, I haven't gone hardly anywhere anyway when it comes to shopping and whatnot. But even still, government has absolutely no right. Now, I'll say this, and we're done tonight. Ooh, it's 8 o'clock. We're done. If a private business wants to put that into place, I believe that's their right. As a private business, if they want to say you can't come in here without shoes or shirt, or you can't come in here, that's their business. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to go in there. If they're going to tell me I can't come in there without a mask, then I'm not going to go in there. Okay, but a government has no right whatsoever to do that. By the way, government has no right to tell a church that they can't open their doors. Absolutely none. Well, Pastor, they're just trying to save people. No, they're not. If they're trying to save people by shutting churches down, they shut everything else down. Pastor Jack Treiber has a church in California that just a few miles away, you have San Francisco 49ers Stadium. I don't even know what they call it now. It used to be Candlestick Park. It's a different stadium now. But they can have football games there, but you can't have church. You can go to the bars, you can go to restaurants. Yeah, it's half capacity or 25% capacity, but you can't go to church. And here's a man who has a church that'll hold thousands of people, and they won't even let him have 25% capacity? Something's wrong with that. It's not COVID either. Pastor, you don't believe COVID's real? Sure it is. But I think the evil individuals in this nation are using it for evil. They're taking it and using it for their own purposes. And they're using it because they want to squash your voice. They want you to stop talking about the Lord Jesus Christ because they know the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. They don't want you to talk about Christ. They don't want you to talk about the Bible anymore. And by the way, BLM, that's their stated purpose. Shut down the nuclear family. Shut down anybody who wants to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their stated purpose. And boy, we're overwhelmed with anarchy. We need to be done. We need to be done. Authority or anarchy. When we lose, when we have no point of authority, self reigns, sin results, and society rots. Amen. He made it all the way through. Amen. He made it. I'm done. We're going to pray. Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you'll give us safety to our homes tonight. Bring us back together on Sunday, Lord. Help our nation, Lord. Father, we need revival. Lord, your people need revival. And Father, may we have it. Father, may we as a nation come back to our point of authority, which is the Word of God. That's what we are founded upon. I don't care what anybody says. The documents say otherwise. Father, help us to come back. Help us to come back to that point of authority, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You are dismissed tonight.